and welcome to Wise Shepherds, the show that brings you closer to the heart of the flock. I'm your host, Teresa, and I'm honored to guide you on this journey of faith. Each week, we'll sit down with local pastors from our community who are dedicated to shepherding their congregations with wisdom and grace. They will share biblical insights, offer spiritual guidance, and help us reflect on our own hearts as we navigate the challenges of triumphs of our Christian walk. Whether you're a longtime believer or just beginning to explore your faith, our goal is to create a space for edification and encouragement. So grab your Bible, pour yourself a cup of coffee, and let's seek the Lord together. This is Wise Shepherds, and we're so glad you're here.
All right. Hey, thanks for having me here. And my name is Randy Carrasco, and I'm an Indigenous pastor and tribal chaplain, Ende Apache. And I've been invited, and I'm very grateful for the invitation, to provide a devotional on the topic of prayer here at K-Bright. We just happened to be looking at Acts chapter 1, verses 12 through 14 on our YouTube channel where we have devotionals. And we just happened to be right here on the topic of prayer. So we'll get right into it. Acts 1, 12 says, "Then they returned to Jerusalem from the Mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey." And this is after Jesus was taken up into heaven. Okay, so keep that in mind. Verse 13, "When they had entered, they went into the upper room where they were staying. Peter, James, John, and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers." So we see an implied priority, and the priority is prayer. Jesus Christ had been caught up and taken up from them into heaven, into a cloud, and there they were, here remaining on earth. And what do these people do? What do these disciples do? And what do these family members, these believers do? They pray. And it says here in verse 14, with one accord, they were in agreement and unity in prayer. And the word behind that prayer is worship. They were worshiping the Lord. And supplication, which basically means prayer requests. So there were various needs that they were bringing to the Lord, but the order there was worshiping the Lord and then coming with the requests. Very interesting to note that. So let's look a little bit back and into the Gospels. In John 14, it says here, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way, you know." And Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you're going, and how can we know the way?" And Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." So when we pray, and if you look at Luke 11, where the model prayer is found, it says here, when you pray, say, "Our Father in heaven." This is in verse 2. Our Father in heaven, you're praying. You're saying, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." So this becomes our template that's laid out, and we review this because this is a foundational set of scriptures relating to prayer and defining from the mouth of Jesus Christ, how do we do this thing called prayer? And it's also interesting to note that at this time, in this time in history, Everything had been changing. Jesus Christ didn't come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. They had a priesthood, and now we have the high priest, Jesus Christ, according to the order of Melchizedek. And now, with the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, we have the veil torn. And now, instead of the priest going into that temple once a year to do that work on behalf of the people, we now have been given that opportunity and that privilege and that honor to be able to come into the presence, to the throne of grace, boldly by the blood of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus, we get to come to the Father. We get to worship Him in His presence, and we get to make our requests known to Him. But really, it goes a lot deeper than that, because it's not just any old conversation, right? This is a very personal communion, and it's us listening, probably listening a lot more than speaking and saying things and words and forming ideas and thoughts. We really want to get that heart posture, that specific, beautiful place that He wants us. And it is spoken of, let's see, right here in verse 1. Now it came to pass in Luke 11, 1. Now it came to pass as He was praying in a certain place. So we see that Jesus had a certain place. There was a very specific place, and the place had a meaning and it had a purpose. You may have your own place. You may have a prayer closet. It may be your car. You know, for many different people, it can be many different things. It can be your office. It can be your room. It can be a place that you go to in nature. It might be somewhere outdoors. Some people like to do prayer walks. You can pray in your bedroom. You don't need to have any particular posture. You don't need to be kneeling per se, or sitting, or with your face down. All these things are nice. They're really good. I don't recommend laying down and closing your eyes and praying. You're going to end up asleep. Because, you know, when you're in God's presence and when you're relaxed and you're just laying down, you know, you're probably going to fall asleep. If you're anything like me, you'll be out probably within 30 seconds. So anyhow, that's just an aside. But the main point here is there's something special about having a certain place, a place that's reserved for prayer. It's good to have distraction-free environments. You know, distractions are kind of like the world's way of kind of, you know, getting us off track, getting us thinking about different things, getting our train of thought disrupted or whatnot. So there's something to be said about certain places that are distraction-free, because we're talking about prayer. We're talking about worshiping the Lord, and we're also talking about making our requests known to Him. But really, as we're worshiping the Lord, we're really listening. We really need to, as we're praying, be mindful of the fact that God has a will. He has a perfect will. He has a good will for us. And we really need to keep that in mind. And we really should desire God's will. We really should desire to be pleasing to the Lord, doing things and living a life, even our thought life, in a pleasing manner, because we will see the Lord face to face, and we want to get that thumbs up. We want to hear Him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." We want to serve the Lord faithfully. Prayer is a very foundational part of doing that. So this is the model prayer. This is how it's done. It was done in a certain place in terms of Him being found there by one of His disciples. And that disciple made a really good statement. "Lord, teach us how to pray, as John also taught his disciples." So we see John the Baptist had disciples. And this, of course, predates Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, that had come and shown Himself. And we have John the Baptist prioritizing the prayer. The prayer in the life of a Christian. Prayer in the life of a believer. So we have the baptism, the baptizing that he was doing, but we have that prayer. And of course, with every baptism, there should be prayer. And this is such a glorious thing. It's a glorious privilege. It's a glorious honor to be able to do and to be that person in Christ, to be a child of God, to have a relationship with the Lord, to be able to worship in that very sweet place, that very personal place with the Lord, to worship Him and to make our requests known, but really to key in on, God, what's your will? What's your perfect will? I really want to walk in that because I really want to see your purposes accomplished in this place for such a time as this and in such a place. So this is basically some thoughts on prayer. I hope it was encouraging to you. I hope that there was something in here that you can take home with you, a review of sorts, you know, the model prayer, and some facts like the fact that don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me, which is, this is the words of Jesus Christ. And of course, He's the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me, He says. So we pray to the Father in the name of Jesus. I hope that's helpful, blesses you. Have an awesome day. Thanks for listening.
That's all the time we have for today. Thank you for joining us on Wise Shepherds. I hope that our message has provided you with a new perspective, some helpful guidance, and encouragement for your own spiritual journey. Remember, as we read in Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him, and He will make your path straight. Join us again next time as we continue to seek biblical wisdom and grow in our faith together. Until then, may God bless you and keep you. I'm your host, Teresa, and this has been Wise Shepherds on KBright Radio.